rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. What do you think that means? Overflowing with thankfulness. There's not room to contain it all, of that particular thing. Thankfulness, yeah.
I mean, that, when you get jostled, that's what spills out.
Think about that one. What's that? Yeah. Everyone. Gary, was that your hand?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that in all situations, no matter how challenging it may seem to be at that time for us, there are always things that we can be thankful for.
Yeah.
And if you're overflowing with thankfulness, that's what people are going to see.
Yeah. So then the next question, don't need to speak this right out. What is your heart overflowing with? What spills out when you get jostled? I was thinking about, I'll just move right on to Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth, I'll use King James, I like it. The mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks or speaketh. Especially when we get jostled. We got together at Nader's, a few of us, last night, and of course, it was right after the game. The game. What game was that? How about them bees, huh? Who'd have thunk? But you when you're excited about something, and that's a, how about them bees? You know, it just kind of it's an overflow. It's just something that just naturally comes out. Yes, they do. Talk about dramatic fashion, huh? But Lord, help us to help it to be that just as common and as that our excitement wouldn't be just for a game or something that a new car or a new clothes or a new this or a loss of job or a loss of this or a loss of that. You know, that those things wouldn't dominate. Those things, not that we couldn't and shouldn't. We should share the things we experience, the successes and joys. But at the very least, it should include some of the things that God is doing. Just a simple thing like, I'm really grateful to God for his love, or I'm grateful to God for his miracle, or I'm grateful to God, or just that constant letting it be known that really what's in your heart is thankfulness. Could I ever say something that is a struggle and still be saved? Well, absolutely. We need to share our needs as well, but there needs to be an overabundance of just declaring gratefulness, gratitude, thanksgiving. Amen? One last scripture. This is out of Psalm chapter 100. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It, it, It concerns me sometimes, and I guess it ought to, when the scripture says that God opposes or resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I wonder what that, the extent of how God resists, you know, that prideful heart. We certainly have seen in Scripture where there are some pretty dramatic, pretty serious things that happened to people like Nebuchadnezzar and like Herod, and for the pride that was in their heart. But let me read the entire Psalm 100. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." You know, I wonder if, because a lot of times I'll hear people say, I don't really hear God speaking, or I don't really recognize His voice, or I'm not even sure, is God really there? You know, is He really... And I wonder if, you know, combining the scripture with God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. You know, I wonder if there's something about the Lord saying that it's really only possible to know that the Lord is God, and that it is He who made us, and that we are His. In fact, there's another psalm that's repeated. In fact, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." You know, and I wonder if that's an indictment as to a proud heart, that really only a humble heart, you know, a heart that is giving thanks and entering His courts with praise, is able to really know that the Lord is God. And then the last line, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations." But can I just encourage you? Here's the last question. Simple stuff. But can you say thank you to God? I mean, how hard is that? How hard is that? Lord, I think we complicate our lives, and certainly our relationship with You, by forgetting some of the basic, some of the most important things, just in terms of acknowledging gratefulness, remembering that what You have done. And Lord, I'm praying this morning that each of us, because every single one of us struggle with pride, and it is a killer. Lord, would You remind us to confess our pride? And then, Lord, would You remind us to express our thankfulness? And Lord, would You remind us just how important a grateful heart is, and to be a person? Lord, let it be that we would declare this Thanksgiving season that we will be a person of thanksgiving, that we will be a person who is overflowing with thankfulness. And Lord, that when we are bumped, and we will, we're just guaranteed there will be lots of bumps, there will be lots of challenges, that we would hear coming out of our lips, even during those times, statements of thanksgiving, expressing a heart of gratefulness. Lord, would you make us a people that are overflowing with thankfulness? Now we pray you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together. So here's the blessing that I would speak. There'll probably be someone, I'm guessing someone downstairs will offer a blessing for the meal. Probably would be just as well to do that right now, as I'm thinking about logistics. Let me just speak a blessing on each of you, that God would give each of you a genuine heart of thanksgiving in the midst of the jostling and the injustices, the pain, the offenses, the difficulties, in all circumstances, that God would give you a heart of gratefulness, and that would be what overflows. And Lord, we pray your blessing on our meal and our conversation. Lord, let it be seasoned. Lord, we know that the meal is seasoned with all kinds of seasonings, Lord, and tastes. Lord, let our conversation be the same. Lord, let there be a fellowship, and Lord, let there be laughter. In Jesus' name. Barbara?
I want to say thank you to the children who, we didn't have Sunday school this morning, but you guys were awesome. If you want to share any of the colors, the Thanksgiving coloring pictures you just did, and put them out on the table for everybody to see, that'd be great too.
Very cool. All right. Let's go downstairs for a feast.
Great song. It's about Lazarus, and he's walking down the road someday, and he finds this testimony night going on. So he goes in, and there's Moses and Abraham and all these guys from Hebrews, the great men of the faith, and they're giving their testimony. Wow, one time, you know, God revealed to me this and that, and God told me to do this on my part of the Red Sea and all this stuff. And they're all getting on their experiences. They're testifying to the great things of God. And Lazarus is sitting there. He's going, he doesn't understand what's going on, you know, because nobody ever talks about knowing Jesus, you know. Finally goes, hey, wait a minute, you know, and everybody looks at the new kid, you know, and he raises his hand and he says, man, me and Jesus, why, I even supported Jesus' ministry once a month. I mean, he'd come over to my house and have dinner, and he goes on and on. In fact, he says, I was just talking to him the other day, and pretty quick you hear him going, in fact, I think I can hear him calling me now. He's going, Lazarus, come forth. He says, oh, bye, guys, I got to go. And he goes, hey, he goes, isn't that great? I just, yeah. He says, I hate to leave, but. And it was old Lazarus in the tomb being called from the dead. I thought that was wonderful. Okay, let's look at that. I just want to, there's some really interesting things about that Lazarus being raised from the dead. Looking in John 11, 1 through 16. Let's see. 1 through 16. Bobby, you want to read that for us? 11, 1 through 16.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed there then 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world.
But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep.
Oh, keep going. We want to get to the good part. Go right on to 16.
The disciples therefore said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. Then Jesus therefore said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas therefore, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him.
That's great. Verse 4 says, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And then when we get up to verse 14, he says,